I'd like to introduce the cast and filmmakers of Magic Five Cats XL. Donald Glover. Matt Bomer. David Pinkett Smith. Ima Davis. Emma Bird. Stephen Kitch Ross. Melanie Morrow. Pete Galloway. Greg Jacobs. Shannon Tatum. Kevin Nash. Joe Magliello. And Randy McDonald.
Oh man, I'm gonna screw everybody up and sit in that seat.
You're there.
Can I get your ranking on? Can I get your ranking on? Can't.
Oh man,
and we'd like to kick this off. This
is a game show.
I'll take Matt Bomer to block.
We'd like to kick this off. Everyone, it looks like this was so much fun to shoot this film. So we'd kind of like to start it off with just a little special memory or anecdote from the shoot that you could share with us. So let's start with ladies first. Oh, wow. Okay. Anything? Okay. Well, we were shooting nights, and they had been shooting quite a while when I came in. I was terrified, but pretending that I wasn't. And I came in acting in the role of this crazy woman, and I think that Amber Heard felt that really was who I was.
I learned yesterday that she actually wasn't too crazy.
I'm not.
And Amber?
Probably just that. I thought Andy was out of her mind. But that's a testament to how great she is. I don't know, this movie is, it's funny because the energy between everybody is palpable, both in the room, on set, and we can also see it on the screen, and everyone's personalities. And there's a strange truth represented in the characters, and I've picked up on everyone's personality kind of coming through in amazing ways, despite the fact that, you know, acting, you know, there's scripted.
Jada,
During rehearsal time, I got to get a special lap dance from Matt.
Dude, I didn't know about this.
And
hold on.
I think I got set up because I just wanted to watch his rehearsal because I found out how well he sings. And I was like, oh, I'm going to just stay. Gregory, is it okay if I stay? I just want to see Matt. And they were like, yeah, come over here, sit in this chair right here. And I was like, oh, nice. I'm sitting there. And he comes out and he starts his routine. And he came over to me, and we had a little special moment. It was awesome.
I didn't know that.
You were there, Channing, remember?
I don't remember
it
that.
It was during rehearsal.
I blocked most of that out.
It totally was a setup, though.
Yeah.
Were you there, Joe?
Yeah, that was a setup.
That was a setup. They set me up, right?
Sit in this chair, Jay.
We did the same thing to Joe Magnello. We were like, here, sit here, Joe. Nash is going to dance for us.
Yeah, I'm like, Nash.
And Steven, how are you?
It was just an incredible time. I think the culmination of it all, which was always at the, always in the back, no matter how much, you know, incredible, badass performance situations were going on, you knew that there was a moment when you would have to stand there in nothing, you know what I mean? And it was in that moment that it all came together, you know what I mean? Because you feel good, you feel, you know, we're dancing, we're doing a mirror routine, we're doing this and that. And then when you have to stand there with your ass cheeks and you win, that's when you look around the room and catch eye contact with everybody. You know what I mean? And you say, this is what we're here for. This is it. You're changing lives right now.
You know, it's really hard to pick just one moment, of course, because the whole ride literally was just from start to finish one of the most fun times I've had in my life, never mind just in my career. But I can't get Michael Strahan out of my head. Michael Strahan,
ditto.
Baby oil from head to toe, tight pair of gold shorts, Hall of Fame NFL player jumping 6 feet in the air over a woman on a table that he's massaging. I don't know. I can't get the image out of my head.
I see him in my sleep sometimes. I worry if he's going to come for me in the night and just be like, you did this to me.
I find myself sketching him.
One of the fun things about doing a road trip movie is that every day was a new adventure. We never stayed in one place too long. One day we were at Rome's Club and I was seeing Donald Freestyle, and you're getting to dance with Jada, then you're with a bunch of drag queens. I mean, it was all a new adventure. But for me in particular, seeing the mini mark scene with Joe, since we were 18, seeing the culmination of all those years just come to fruition in that moment was so mind-blowing and epic that I literally just like stood behind the camera just so wanting popcorn or really any carbohydrate to eat, and just with my jaw on the ground just like thanking God.
You'll never look at Mini Marts the same way.
Or Cheetos.
No way.
How about you, Tom?
Speaking of, like, I guess, like food, like that was, if we were in Savannah, so there's like a lot of like very unhealthy but delicious food that we could not have. The first thing that happened when we were on set was like everybody's like, okay, don't eat that protein bar. Eat this is the good one. This is that one. And like, you can't have the same green 2 days in a row. That's crazy. Okay, so like, I felt there was, and I guess it all culminated with, I remember the first day, like there was a thong in my dressing room, like a silver thong, and I was like, well, this is it. Like, this is the moment I really am, and I put it on. And then I do my scene, and then like the whole day, and it was like very great and awesome. And then I get back here and I realize, like, no one ever saw this thong. I was like, this is a solidarity thong. Like, it's entirely out of solidarity.
Well, you know, I've known Matt since he was 18, you know, and
we did come up through drama school together.
We've done Shaw together.
Shaw and Chekhov and Shakespeare and Ibsen and all of that has
now led
us to this moment in our careers where... Scene one, take one. Joe, you're going to get naked and cannonball chanting into a pool. And
crowning achievement.
Yeah, that education really paid off. But I mean, you know, one of the, you know, Matt is such a humble guy. And, you know, I feel like sometimes I'm, you know, I'm Matt's agent, or, you know, I'm Matt's color man, kind of hand behind him. Letting people know, you know, Matt can sing. You got to hear Matt sing. Yes. And, you know, we were on part one, and one night we were filming in Tampa, and Matt and I went out to this karaoke bar, and I dared Matt to sing John Bon Jovi, Blaze of Glory. And he sang it so well and so hard and nailed every note, which is, like, really, really difficult. You know, a lot of people crash on the rocks of Bon Jovi songs at karaoke bars all over the world. And, killed it so bad that he got a free bottle of water afterwards. You know, I remember coming back the next day and you know, talking to Channing or whoever, Stephen at the time, was like, you know, you gotta get Matt to sing. You gotta make Matt sing. And so, you know, I'm so happy that the world will now know, or at least, you know, the audience that hasn't seen him sing on Glee is now going to know that he killed that D'Angelo song, which is once again
easy.
Not easy.
Easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just
don't want to be on D'Angelo's bad side. Right. Yeah.
Me. You know, when I got the call that we were going to do the second one, being the only guy in the dance crew that was currently reading the AARP magazine. you know, we all, and staying in touch with everybody and getting a chance to read Joe's book and, you know, see the shape that he was in, I'm going, oh, geez, here we go again. And, no matter what you, you know, even though we had the experience of the first one, I think everybody at some point in their life has that dream where they're at school or they're at a function and they're naked. And the great thing about, you know, signing up for this the second time is you get to not only have that dream but actually live it. You know it's coming. And it doesn't make it any different than it was the first time, because it had been, you know, a couple of years and a couple of years on my body. So just like, oh. And you talking about, I mean, I'm not an alcoholic, but I, you know, I might be. Let's just say that the California vineyards will not go out of business as long as I'm alive. And you know, when I did my prep for this, you know, and it's like you're doing your diet, and you're like, okay, I'm gonna cut carbs out, I'm gonna process this, I'm gonna cut this out, I'm gonna cut this. I just kept waiting. I'm just thinking, this will be the last bottle of wine I drink. This will be the last bottle of wine I drink. And then it was like, now we're like 9 weeks out, and I'm like, okay, this is the last bottle of wine. So then when we got to Savannah, I purposely went to Whole Foods and got two really good bottles of wine. And I set them on the counter because I said to myself, you know, I'm really going to see if I'm alcoholic or not, because anybody can go to jail and not drink. But if you got the bottles in the cell with you and you don't drink them, you're all right. So if nothing else, I realized that, you know, I just like the taste of wine. I don't have a drinking problem.
Oh, so my God.
I know, just collectively dropped the mic right
now. I don't know what I'm going to say after that. Like, man, I'll just keep mine very short. I can look around to all these people, these lovely, talented people up here, and just thank them. And because this is a crazy movie, and this is a crazy part of my life, and now I can always look around through the years and say, hey, remember that time we all got naked together? And we have that, and I just want to thank them all for being in the film. I love you.
I had none.
Greg is still blacked out until the movie comes out and the numbers come in.
Look, for me, it was really, I'm just so thrilled that these guys all put their faith in me. You know, I produced the first movie. I hadn't directed a movie in years. And I just had such an amazing time. Like, I really had a great time, and it was such an incredible collaboration. And Reed and Chan and the whole cast were, it was a really special group of people to work with. And I was, you know, so proud of them. And I guess one of my favorite moments, really, that anytime there was a performance, I was so rooting for these guys. You know, I was so emotionally invested. They worked so hard. Each of them on these routines, and it was pretty amazing to watch, and really a dream to be able to get to shoot them. You know, it was so fun to get to shoot those dance routines, and at that convention at the end, you know, to have 900 cheering people every day, you know, sort of energizing them and us, and trying to blaze through it as fast as we could because we only had 28 days to shoot the whole movie. It was really a cool experience, and you know, I want to thank everybody too. Now that everybody's all gathered here, thank you guys for making it such a great experience for me. I learned a lot.
I'd like to quickly thank you, because this movie wouldn't be made without Greg. Truly. You know, there's no one else that we could have done the film with, really. You know, Soderbergh had sort of retired, and the torch wasn't going anywhere until Greg picked it up. So thank you, man.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you killed this movie.
Henry?
It's the writer's turn. I'll talk for a little while. Hope that's cool.
I wrote something last night.
That was an idea for something else.
So I guess my favorite moment actually precedes production, and it was when I was up in Vancouver with my buddy Chan, and we were trying to figure out how to write this movie, and we sort of were in the middle of the second act of the movie, and we sort of started realizing the stuff we're writing really sucks, and maybe we shouldn't do this, maybe we should just like go home and you can't figure this out. Yeah, Greg wasn't gonna let us do it, but we were like having a moment. And he was like, yeah, screw this, man. I'm going out to the hot tub. So he went out to the hot tub and sitting down in the hot tub. And I went out there.
I might have had a bottle of bourbon with me, whatever. Might not have.
And I got in the hot tub with him. And I was like, dude, you know, what happened in that food truck in real life when you were out, you know, riding up to this stripper convention? He was like, nothing. Nothing happened. That's why we, you know, we're having the problem. Because we didn't do anything. And I was like, yeah, but what did you do? Like, what did you talk about? And he's like, nothing, man. We just blew each other up. And I was like, what do you mean, blow each other up? And he was like, you know, we just told each other how great we were all the time. We just yelled at each other about how wonderful we were and how good we looked and all that sort of stuff. And I was like, well, we have a movie. That was the turning point for me. So, that's it.
The gods.
Yeah, the gods. Really, the gods.
The goddesses.
Well, I will say this. If you know, you all know it was originally written for a guy, and it was Reed's. We were all together, and Reed, I remember this, he said, you know, it wouldn't it be cool if, and literally he did not have to finish that sentence, and we all knew where you were going with it. Mm. Oh, yes, that's a great idea. So the idea of it being a woman, I think it was, I'm giving you credit.
It was the group. It was the group.
But Jay, yeah. I think it was think really, right. It was the group and the gods, and she was really the first person we thought of, and thankfully, she agreed to do it.
And then came in and really created that character. I mean,
yeah, we did it.
We would not have been. I mean, we were just a bunch of dudes trying to figure out. Basically, we just wrote placeholders for all the female parts, and then like wanted to cast the women and have them tell us how they wanted to do it, because they're brilliant and they're amazing creators in their own right. So they really all killed it.
Yeah, and I don't think you got pages until like the day before shooting or something like that. So it was really, yeah.
We wanted to give her the pages so she couldn't quit until the last minute. Yeah. and so she'd feel really guilty if she didn't like them.
Hey, everybody, congratulations. I want to ask, the movie says a lot about male friendship, and there's some really nice intimate moments between you guys. Can you talk about why that was important to have that be a part of the movie, that it wasn't just a bunch of guys trying to get laid or make a bunch of money, but you really saw the friendship and the love these guys have for each other. Can anybody talk to that?
I'll talk again.
I think it was just a natural byproduct of how we all felt about each other, and I think it was the thing that you got a glimpse of in the first movie, and I think it was partly probably the impetus for why a second one, there was a story there to be had. You know, you get a group of people in a room and you let them play and, you know, get a chance to get to know each other, and sometimes magic just comes out of that, and that's what happened on the first movie. I mean, we all really made friends that we'll have for the rest of our lives, and through that, you know, through blowing each other up, as Chan said, you know, there was just a whole lot of gold to be mined there, and that came through in the movie just very naturally. You know, I think it's the skin that gets you in the movie, and then it's the humanity of these characters and their friendships that you actually end up falling in love with.
But I think you have to give a lot of credit to Greg. I know that early on, Greg said, look, you know, we're going to get to the end of this movie, and at the end, people are going to have tears in their eyes when they say goodbye to these guys. And I was like, you thought, I mean, we're we're making a male stripper movie? People are going to be crying in the male stripper movie? And I kind of, but I put it in the back of my head. I went, okay, just, you know, keep that in mind. And sure enough, when we got towards the end, man, like, that last day was really hard, man, you know? It was hard to, like, say goodbye to my friends. And I think that it was, the ending was smart, too, because they changed the ending. There was a different ending written that was more definitive. And I think that to go out in this kind of, you know, diner-esque way, where you don't know what's going to happen on Monday morning with these guys, but you care about them and you're rooting for them. And I think that that's really just a tribute to Greg and the heart that he brings as a director to this project, which I think was such a perfect direction and evolution from the first movie.
And that last scene that we actually shot was the last scene that we shot in the movie. It was the last day, last thing up, so it was pretty nostalgic.
Yeah. And then we started drinking.
And then I might have started before that, but whatever. There was no dialogue, so I was like, whatever.
Ice cream, carbs, and alcohol.
Bruce Kirkland from the Toronto Sun, Sun Media in Canada. And this is actually, it's not directed to any one person, but whoever wants to seize upon it. And it strikes me that this summer there's hardly any movies that are directly aimed at women. And for all of the romance that's going on in this movie, there's also a component, obviously, that's there as eye candy for gals. And you're going up against Terminator Genesis, which strikes me as a boys' movie. So do you see yourselves carving out that territory as the girls' movie? So anybody want to seize upon that?
We're going to get all the guys, trust me.
Terminator doesn't stand a chance.
Any of the gals want to answer that?
I wouldn't mind. Come for it. Okay. First of all, there are a lot of really sexy hot women in this movie.
Yes.
Boom!
And also, I think it's a great date movie.
Yes.
Because the guys are going to go and with their ladies and be inspired, and hopefully they have it all set up at home. The priest
music picked out ahead of time.
That's awesome. And they got their little costumes prepared. And the tone is already set, because I was slightly embarrassed when I went to see the movie with my manager and a bunch of strangers, because I found it a little, you know, arousing. And I think the best thing to do is to take a woman to go see this movie and have some plans for the movie, because it's already warmed up.
Soundtrack available on Warner Brothers. Yeah. Oh,
guys can watch things explode or whatever they want to do. Or
go create your own explosion.
Exactly. There's a double meaning in that.
July 1st is now International Give Your Partner a Lap Dance Day.
So, Channing, your dance moves in this movie, I mean, it's like the Fast and the Furious movies. They just keep getting better and better. That's the thing.
That's awesome.
How long, and all you guys do fantastic work, how long do you guys have to practice and do choreography before you start shooting? Since you said you have like 28 days to shoot the movie, like, did they give you enough time to like get all those routines down?
We had a big CGI budget, and that's actually Twitch with my face basically on hit, on his body. We had a good amount of time on this one, I think. I don't know exactly the amount of days, but everybody showed up is really what I want to say. Everybody came, and everybody was like, yeah, you know, we're doing it this time. And because I think it was a little bit of an oversight on the first one, that we couldn't fit all the dance routines like in the movie, so we kind of designed the way that we filmed the dancing a little bit better, so we could show them all, I guess. You know, because after you see one person go on stage and take their clothes off, the next one gets a little less interesting because they all end the same. And so I don't know. As far as the dance goes, I just wanted to blow it out of the box. The first one, was kind of tethered to reality, you know, and the real world sort of male reviews, they're not all that interesting. They kind of suck, like, to be honest. And I was like, if we're going to do another one, I want it all to just go, I don't want them ever to be able to do a fireman routine on any stage ever again. And I think all these guys brought their own thing to it, everyone. And I don't know, it was cool. It was fun to craft, like, what they were really interested in doing.
Right over there, Sandra?
Yes. There's an expression, happy wife, happy life, and I'll leave it there. Jada, little cup of brown sugar, could you write me a
yes.
And I want to know about the audition process for the everyday women that showed up in this film.
The audition process?
But I want to know, did you write any real lines with Big Willie?
Oh, no. Any of my lines?
Yeah.
From this movie?
Big Willie?
Oh, no, that won't work on him. I'm going to have to use a whole different technique with Big Daddy. Yeah. Leave that right there.
Oh, man. God. I'm crying
right
now. I love your questions. Your questions have been better than any of our answers. Go ahead. I don't know.
Yeah,
what was
that question to?
Chang, please.
Oh. What was the audition process?
The amazing happy ending and those everyday women, they got to be there to experience.
Oh, yeah, I mean, look, I mean, they all just, they were wildly well-behaved. Because they, in the first film, they ripped Matthew McConaughey's thong off of his body. And that was only about, not even 100 of them. I thought that 1,000 women was going to be uncontrollable almost. And then, I don't know, everybody was just like, just really, really well behaved. I don't really know how to, I wish I had like an antidote that was really crazy. But we just loved that they were there. And I think they just really were enjoying it because we didn't rehearse on stage, so they didn't get to like see what was coming in a way. So they got to see it for the first time every time in a way. And the way we shot it, we kind of just piecemealed it out. So we didn't do the whole thing all at once. And I don't know. We just had fun with them. And that's it. I don't even know if I answered your question, but all right.
I was acting and just, yes, and my skill. When I first talked to Channing on the phone about this, he was so apologetic. His voice was so, it was very cautionary and polite. And he's like, would you be okay with it? It's like a lap dance. I have to give you like this. I'm like, it's a big ego. And I said, well, I'm not taking my top off. No, you don't strip. So I don't do any strip. No. Like, we get to you. So I'm just sitting there. Well, yeah, you're kind of sitting there.
That wasn't mine.
And I found out. So a lot of the reactions and everything was just that it's genuine. I couldn't stop laughing. I laughed the entire time. I think when I wasn't scared, I did that. And it was fun.
I think we actually filmed her reaction the first time that we showed her what the dance was going to be with the choreographer. I think we have it somewhere. I got to send it to you. It is epic.
Yeah, it was like half speed.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should be like the polite half speed version of that dance. I didn't see it for real until it was hair and makeup and 1,000 screaming actions.
actress or anything.
Yeah.
Mind you, that was actually the first time that I met you. You were going through the routine, and there's a part when she leaned over the chair, and I'm standing behind her, and it was a little, it was slow enough for me to be like, hey, I'm Twitch.
Totally true.
Hi, congrats on the film. I was just wondering what the vibe was like on set between takes and between scenes. I know, Channing, you said you're already kind of feeling your daughter's therapy fund. you guys are clearly all friends. Was there anything you like to do together? How did you have the time? Any funny stuff happened between takes?
I mean, you're kind of seeing it right now. I mean, it really is. I mean, I let everybody else talk to it, but I mean, it really was the reason to do the second one. It's just, you wouldn't even have to write anything. You just turn the cameras on. And I think I know a lot of people come up and say, oh, we just loved each other. We all really like hanging out and stuff. And I don't know. I haven't been on a movie where people would show up on their days off to watch, and to support their friends. And that doesn't happen on another movie. It just doesn't. And that's ultimately what happened every day on this thing.
Channing. Could you talk just a little bit about how this all came about, though? I mean, was it opening weekend of the first one that you said we've got to do a sequel? Did it take a while? You were talking about being in Vancouver trying to come up with a plot or a.
Pretty much the only thing we knew, because people have to go to the first one to really even merit making a second one, and. We couldn't have any idea that the first one was going to do what it did. I mean, that's why we made it for so little money. We were just kind of making a little independent movie. And then we won the lottery with it somehow. And then after that, I think the only thing we knew that was creative left on the table was the convention and a few other stories that I don't even know if actually made it in. But and we knew Matt was going to sing, and that was about it. and then that was sort of the rest of it. We had to start filling in. And Greg really, really took the lead on that one.
Hi, dance scenes were amazing. A lot of extras being twirled around. Was there any accidents? And also for Twitch and for Channing, that last dance was amazing. How long did you guys work on it? And basically watching you guys was like, you guys were brothers from another mother.
We did have a little mishap.
Yes, take one of my finale routine, which we rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed and rehearsed. My dance partner did something unrehearsed. And the result was audible to me, a loud rip and a pop, and it was my bicep. And I had to kind of do this, and we went into the back, and we had our All Valley Karate Tournament Miyagi moment in the back, where I was on the table, and normally bicep snaps and rolls up into your shoulder, the arm turns black and caves in, and that didn't happen. So I thought it was a dislocated bone in my arm. So we had a masseuse.
That's what happens when you're Joe Manganiello and your biceps.
They're so well trained that they don't do normal. They're just I won't. I got you, sir.
They were this masseuse is. Trying to work this, what we thought was a bone, back into my arm, and Channing said, he's there, and Greg and Steven, and Channing says, I can move my routine up and I'll do it today, and I just thought, there's no way, I'm not going to make it tomorrow. Tomorrow my arm's not going to move. If we can go, we got to go now.
It was right out of Rocky, man. I was like, dude, I'll go on, man. I'll go on. He's like, no, I got it. Just pop it back in. Just go.
Daniel LaRusso's going to fight. Daniel LaRusso's going to fight. Yeah, so, I came back out, and we, for the next 4.5 hours, did this routine, which, y'all have seen. It involves, this sex swing and, these monkey bars kind of on top that I have to run and jump up on top of. And, my brain wouldn't allow me to visualize landing on it because it knew it was trying to stop me. But, we made it through, and everybody, pat on the back, ice bag, bro, that was amazing. And, when Sophia was there that day, we got back to my trailer, and as soon as the door closed, she looked at me and said, if I see you at the fucking gym tomorrow, we're done. I'm going to fucking leave you. That's it. So,
So he hasn't been in a gym since.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't even think about gyms. Yeah, no.
We have time for one more question.
All right. Hi. I'm going back a little bit to what Andy said about this being a film for couples, and I completely agree, but I also think it's kind of a wonderful homage to women, because the guys love the women, and the women represented here are very strong, intelligent, beautiful women. So I guess my question is, what in the process of making both the first film and this one did you learn about what women might want in a man?
Who wants to take that one?
Anybody?
Let's let Donald take this one. Well, no, I think it's actually kind of nice because you have a really beautiful, like, I mean, you ask a woman, you know, you talk to her.
I mean, like, with the scene I had, like, it was, like, kind of a thing where I remember going after, like, I found out I got this and, like, being like, would this be cool to, like, a girl, like, if you just rap to them, like, is that going to feel smooth, like, a freestyle rap? And, like, I think, like, at the end of the day, like, what I found out, like, after asking friends, like, with this cool, and, like, what do you think? Like, it was like, yeah, like, everybody just wants it to be a conversation. A lot of people, one thing my dad always, and he was telling me when we were doing this, he was like, you know, one thing your mom taught me was, like, everybody, like, you either want to be right or you want to be happy. And to be happy, it's got to be a conversation. And that's everything that kind of happened in this film. Like, you saw everybody kind of like, we're dancing together. Like, it's not like I'm telling you what you want or like you're telling me. Like, it's always something that's going back and forth. And like, I thought that was like really the big thing about this. Like, I never saw it as just like, you know, like a lesson being learned as much as like, we're all having fun. This isn't a scary thing. Like, this is really cool. And like, I mean, like, even like when there was a question about the girls being kind of crazy and like the convention scene, like, there was one scene where I'm like dancing with her, and like her dress came up, and I was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." She was like, "No, that was awesome. Keep going." Like, it was great. And I'm like, "We're friends. Like, we still hang out. Like, she's from Savannah. Like, I talk to her all the time." Like, because it was like a freeing feeling. So yeah, it was a conversation.
I'm friends with like every one of those girls too. Like, they come over, hang out with the fam. That's great.
Okay, well, thank you for everyone for being here.
I didn't know that.
It's a good stage.